I'm the Dreaming Sun, and welcome to A Course in Miracles Explained. In this video, I'm going to explain the story of a creation according to A Course in Miracles to help explain what the Course teaches. The premise of the Course is that the world is a dream, everything within it illusionary, and that the only purpose the world has is to be used to help you wake up from the idea there is a world. To help you understand how this conclusion is reached in the Course, I will explain the key understandings you need to know to get a grasp on the teachings of A Course in Miracles. The Course states that there is only one reality. This reality is characterized by the state of perfect oneness, also known throughout the ages as heaven, nirvana, and spirit, just to name a few. Although this reality can never be compromised, the Course states that there was a moment when a thought that was other than this perfect reality arose in the mind of perfect oneness. If I could define this thought, it is the thought of having a life apart from oneness. It is the thought of individuality. In the Course, it is known as the thought of separation, the tiny mad idea. When this thought arises, the mind falls asleep and into a new mind called the split mind, because this mind is apart from the universe of oneness. When the mind of oneness falls asleep, it completely forgets about its pre-sleep reality. The reason why the Course describes this world as a dream is because it is something we associate with. We can understand how we can seemingly experience a reality that isn't real. Before we carry on with the story, let me explain the second split that occurs in the split mind as soon as the thought of separation arises. What occurs in the second split is the one split mind splits into three parts. The three parts it splits into are the right and wrong minds, along with the decision-making part. The function of the wrong mind is to be the voice for the separated identity and world, whereas the function of the right mind is to be the voice for reality. The right mind is the memory in the split mind of the reality of perfect oneness beyond it. The third part of the split mind is the decision maker, and it is this part of the mind the Course is referring to as you throughout the book. In the split mind, it is the decision maker who holds all the power, because if it listens to the wrong mind, then it will experience a world of separation and individuality, whereas if it listens to the right mind, it will remember its true waking identity and there will be no need for dreams at all. So now we can understand the three minds and their functions, let's go back to the beginning. After the split mind had split into three parts, but before the world had begun, there was a moment according to the Course where the decision maker had to make a decision. That decision was based on what interpretation of the tiny mad idea the decision maker wanted to be the truth. First, the wrong mind spoke its case to the decision maker. It told of all the benefits of accepting its interpretation of the thought of separation. The trump card in its presentation was promising the decision maker an individual identity apart from perfect oneness. Next, it was the right mind's turn to convince the decision maker of its interpretation of the thought of separation. Unfortunately, all the right mind could do was remain quiet, because to even express a counter-argument to the ego, it would be indirectly confirming that the separation had happened. This is called the principle of the atonement in the Course, which is simply a fancy way of saying that you need do nothing to become enlightened, because nothing outside perfect oneness has ever happened. But because the decision maker's function is to make a decision, it had to decide which interpretation it wanted to be the truth. Obviously, because we're appearing in the world at the moment, the decision maker decided for the wrong mind. You could say at this point, the decision maker falls more deeply into dreaming, a dream within a dream, no longer remembering reality, the right mind, or even that it is a decision-making mind. Another thing that is important to understand is that whatever the decision maker splits off to, it completely identifies with that new reality. And so after the decision maker makes this choice, it becomes completely identified with the wrong mind. At this point, the wrong mind becomes very afraid. From now on, I will refer to the wrong mind as the ego. The ego is afraid because it knows the function of the decision maker is to make a choice between which interpretation of the tiny mad idea to listen to, And because it chose the ego, it could at some point revoke its decision and simply choose against it for the right mind. If this was to happen, then the ego would be out of existence. And so it is this that the ego fears the most. Therefore, the ego needs to devise a plan so that the decision-making mind completely forgets it is a mind. Because the ego's logic is, how can the decision-maker choose against me if it forgets it can make decisions? Keep this motivation of the ego in mind while I explain why the third split occurs. The third split occurs within the wrong mind, and it occurs because of a story the ego tells the decision maker. As soon as the decision maker associates with the wrong mind, the ego tells it its frightening story. A story characterized by three main symbols: sin, guilt, and fear. At this point, the ego introduces a new character. It invents its own God. And the story goes like this. Look at what you've done. You've killed God. I mean, if you exist in this separated state, then it must be because he is dead. And he is dead because you killed him. This is the Course's interpretation of the common idea called original sin. The psychological result of believing in sin is the experience of guilt. And this is exactly what the decision maker, who is now associated with the ego, begins to feel. The ego enhances this feeling of guilt by saying, yeah, you should feel bad. I mean, what did he ever do to you except give you unlimited life? This is the origins of the experience of fear, because when there is an experience of guilt, then the expectation of punishment goes hand in hand with this. This is what all fear is based on, expectation of future punishment. The ego dramatizes this feeling of fear by adding to the story, oh, by the way, you didn't quite kill him. He survived your attack and now he's out to get you back for what you did to him. This is where the ego is a little sneaky. Because it is now in control and it serves the ego's agenda, it now takes the sin, guilt, and fear the decision maker is now feeling in the wrong mind and splits off the sin and guilt and projects it onto this new God figure in the story, leaving the decision maker with the feeling of fear, being the innocent, fearful victim of a sinful, wrathful God. It is now God that is a sinful and guilty one for wanting to kill the decision maker for making an innocent mistake. This is a third split in the mind, and now the decision maker forgets about the second split where it was a sinful, guilty, fearful self. The decision maker has fallen into a deeper dream, three layers deep. At this point in the story, the decision maker is all alone in the wrong mind, with the ego's made-up God, a victimizing God that is out for blood. This is the origins of the fight or flight response. The decision maker now has the option to either take on this all-powerful and bloodthirsty God or it can flee. The first option isn't really possible though, because the way the decision maker now perceives itself as no match for this vengeful God. The decision maker plays right into the ego's hands when it asks the ego, is there any way to leave the mind? This is exactly why the ego told the decision maker the story of sin, guilt, and fear, and then projected the sin and guilt on God. The result is the decision maker willfully wants to leave the mind, the result the ego wanted the whole time. Because if the decision maker forgets that it is a mind, how can it change it? In response to the decision maker's request, the ego says, yeah, sure, just take my hand. In the Course, this is the moment of creation of the physical universe, the Big Bang, or more accurately put, the big projection. This is the fourth and final split in the split mind. It is the dream of individual existence. What the ego has done is taken the contents of the wrong mind and projected it along with the decision maker outside of itself into a physical world. Because the physical reality is merely a projection of the wrong mind, then the innocent and victimized decision maker becomes an innocent and victimized body, and the all-powerful and avenging God becomes a huge and victimizing world. The wrong-minded purpose for the world is to be the scapegoat for all the sin and guilt the decision maker originally felt after it chose to side with the wrong mind, just as the fictional God was in the third split. So, when the decision maker is identified with the ego after the fourth split, then it will experience itself as a body. The ego will instruct the decision maker to find guilt in the world outside itself. This is the one game that characterizes the ego's world, and that game is the game of guilt. This is because whoever is guilty will be punished, and if the decision maker doesn't want to be punished, then it must be able to say that it is innocent. But the only way to be innocent is to make something else guilty.
Finding guilt in the world serves two purposes. Firstly, it makes the world real, and therefore the thought of separation real. But more importantly, it makes something other than the decision maker responsible for the sin that must have happened to achieve its individual existence. If the decision maker can find guilt outside itself, then it won't be the one that is punished when God finally catches up with it. It will be able to point the accusing finger at all the guilty ones in the world and say, it is them that is responsible for the separation. The Course states that this game of guilt will continue until the decision maker experiences a disillusionment of the ego's teachings. The main teaching of the ego is that there is hope of happiness in the world. The ego leads the decision maker down many roadways in the world in the pursuit of happiness. It isn't until the decision maker realizes one thing, that they all end in death, that the opportunity for true happiness arises. At this point, there's a crack in the ego's shield of oblivion, and the decision maker says, there must be a better way. At this point, the right mind reappears, characterized in the Course as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, is simply a reminder to the decision maker that everything that has occurred in the split mind has simply been a dream. The Holy Spirit teaches the decision maker that it is the sole dreamer, and all the contents of the dream is simply a projection of the wrong mind, a mind that is wholly false. This is the meaning behind the statement, there is no hierarchy of illusions, and the workbook lessons, nothing I think means anything, and nothing I see means anything. The Holy Spirit instructs the decision maker that the only way to escape illusions is by not believing in them. As the decision maker gains confidence in the Holy Spirit's teaching by increasingly feeling peaceful, it becomes less and less identified with the body. It increasingly identifies with being the dreamer of the world of dreams. The world becomes a classroom where the decision maker forgives its own dream until it accepts the atonement for itself. The acceptance of atonement is the acceptance that the separation from oneness never happened because it could never happen. The world and its individual identity within it were wholly illusionary. There is no guilt because the thing the ego said was the cause of guilt was wholly illusionary. Nothing needs to be done except to forget the thought of separation, to awaken and be glad. If you want the slideshow of this presentation, then click the link below. Otherwise, please make a comment, like the video if you did, and subscribe to the channel to keep up to date with my latest videos.